Okay, let us begin. So we start with one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. And this is October 12, 2014, broadcasting from the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery in Berkeley, California. Okay, so now we're taking lesson 7, and we begin with the grammar section. Okay, and quite a bit of this we've already covered in the Pali primer, but this is just to review it. Okay, so in the grammar, I'm on page 101. So here we have optatives. I think we've already had the main form of the optative, the common forms. But these are some variants on the optative. Yeah, we had the main forms of the optative in lessons 3 and 4. But these are some optatives which form the optative with the suffix ya, ya. And so we have an optative for the verb deiti, to give. We have the form dajja, which is formed by adding ya to dud. Let me just get a blank. Now I'm going to share the screen. See, we lost somebody. Okay, so we have dud. We're losing people. Okay, so dud plus ya would give an up. Would give an optative dajja, but in Pali the combination of D and Y is unstable, so it turns into, actually it should be, so dud plus ya would give dajja, but the DY combination is difficult to articulate, dajja. So to make it smoother, the dy turns into a double J, dajja. So this means something like one should give, one may give, and so on. Keep on losing people. I don't know why. Well, maybe this connection is not as secure as the one at Chuang Yin Monastery. Okay, so similarly, yeah, maybe it should be able to accommodate 12. please, everybody, go off your video. Just go to audio. Change the video to audio. I think it's the video which is causing people to fall off. Please, Zhuangyan, okay. Kim, please, and Zhuangyan, please go to... Kim?
I'm not quite sure how to do that, but it... Kim, at the bottom of the panel, there are three icons. The middle one is a microphone. The one to the left is for the video. If you click on that, it'll stop the video. Okay.
And Venerable Satchinanda,
thank you.
Go off video, just to audio. Aya Santusika, explain to Venerable Satchinanda how to turn off the video, just to keep audio. Yeah.
The middle one is a microphone. The one to the left of that is the one that you touch to stop the video. Do you see it, Venerable Satchinanda? You may have to use your mouse to move over the icons in case they are hidden. I don't know if they can be hidden, but there's three icons, the one on the right is a speaker, the one in the middle is a microphone, and the one on the left is this little, like, circle with a stand, and it's for video, so you can just click on that, and it will stop the video. Do you see anything like that? Okay, very good.
Is Suki online?
I think you lost her again.
Okay, she'll come on. Okay, so similar to Dud plus Ya, we have Jun plus Ya. And so Jun plus Ya gives Junya, which means one should know, one may know. And then we have from the verb karoti, the ordinary optative is kareya, but we also have forms kar plus ya, so that can give kareya, or sometimes an inversion takes place, so we get kaira. Okay, then they give the optative for the verb. Okay, then they give the optative for the verb uti. The verb uti means to be, is. And so we have, for the first person and third person, there are two forms. Both of them are found. One is asang, first person, Asung, or Siyung. And then for the third person, either Asa or Sia. And for the third person, plural, either Asu or Siyung. Okay, any questions about the these optative forms? Okay, so let's go on now to the future passive participle. This is also called the optative participle. And we've already had these. In the Pali primer. And so the future passive participle usually gives the sense of something which must be done or should be done. Should be done, should be given, should be known, should be, can be, might be, etc. And so some of the examples for the verb gacchati, we have gantapa, which means should be gone, a place that should be gone to. For the verb sunati, one hears, we have sotaba, should be heard. For the verb karoti, we have the future passive participles kataba or kataba, karaniya, and then a form kicha. Kicha actually comes from, it's actually based on the Sanskrit, which would be kritya. So in Pali, this becomes kicha, which takes on the special meaning of, as a noun, it actually functions as a noun, meaning duty, task, function, that which should be done, must be done, can be done. Then from the verb bhavati, which means to be, we have the future passive participle bhavitabhang. And then there's a special form mentioned here, bhava, which takes on the meaning of being capable. Somebody is capable of something. The word bhava is used. Okay, then we have the word charity, the verb charity, to move, to act, to undertake, to practice. So we have charitapa, that which should be practiced, that which should be done. Okay, a number of them are mentioned on the next page. I don't have to go read all of them, but you can just look this over and get familiar with them. You don't have to memorize them, but try to become familiar. Okay, now on page 102, section 2.2 explains that the future passive participle usually means something which is desirable to be done, in the sense of should be done, worth being done, and so on. By the way, please turn off your, Oh, please mute your microphones so that I don't get a feedback. I'm getting a feedback. Okay, I think it's better now. Okay, so here are some examples. Okay, we have Anjali Karaniya. This is used as a description of a bhikkhu. A bhikkhu is Anjali Karaniyo. That means somebody is worthy of Anjali. Anjali is the gesture of respect by which you put the hands together, the palms together. They call it gassho in Japanese. Hujang, I think, in Chinese. Hujang. And then we have pujaniya, those who should be worshipped, those who are worthy of being worshipped. Okay, next comes section 3. This is a use of the word atta, which means self. And the word atta is often used as a reflexive pronoun, especially in the instrumental case where we have atana, as shown here, which means by yourself. And the singular is also used with a plural sense. In fact, the noun atta, meaning self, to my knowledge, never occurs in the plural, only in the singular, even when the subject is a group of people. So we have the example here, yada tumhe atanava janayata. And you see the pronoun tumhe is plural, but the noun atana, by oneself, is a singular, but it's used in relation to many people. So here we have yada tumhe atanava janayata, when you know something by yourselves. And so the Buddha is speaking to a group of people, so it's plural, but atana, by yourself, is a singular noun. Okay, then we come to section 4. These are variant forms of the negative. No and ma. Ma is what is called the prohibitive particle. That means it's used in negative imperatives. An imperative is a command to do something, and a negative imperative is a prohibition to do something. So this is for the Chinese speakers. This is like the bear, like bear shuo wa, do not speak. Bia kai mon, do not open the door, right? So ma functions like the Chinese bia or English don't, as a command. And what's interesting, when ma is used, the verb that usually goes along with it is the aorist, the past tense. But in connection with ma, the aorist does not signify the past, but rather it signifies the prohibition to do an action. So taking some examples, we have here Ma Sadang Akata. Or we could have Ma Sadang Akasi. So this is, the first one is, do not make a sound, do not make noise, using the second person plural. And Ma Sadang Akasi, using the second person singular. Both of these are aorist forms, Akasi and Akata, but they're used not to signify the past, but to signify the prohibition to do an action in the present. Okay, occasionally, actually usually when ma is used, it goes along with the aorist, but occasionally we could find ma used with the optative. For example, in the statement given here, ma pamadung anu yunjeta, which is translated, actually, it would be better to translate this, do not engage in heedlessness. So, anuyunjeta is the second person plural optative of anuyunjati, to engage in, to indulge in. So, do not, the prohibition, do not indulge in heedlessness or negligence, is ma pamadung anuyunjeta. One could also use the aorist, ma pamadung, what would be the aorist? I think it would be anuyunjita, if it's second person plural. Ma pamadung anuyunjita. Okay, then the next example uses the expresses the prohibition with the imperative, ma gacha, don't go. So gacha is the ordinary second person singular imperative of gachati. But we could also express this using the aorist, ma agachi, or ma agami. Also, that would be the prohibition, don't go. Okay, then we have the negative form, no. Now I'm at the top of page 103. So no is said to be a negative emphatic. And so no has the sense of or not, or isn't it the case? And I think no is also used commonly when phrasing negative questions. So here the example I give is Eso damo kusalo nova. So this dhamma, this doctrine, is wholesome, or is it not? In other words, is this doctrine wholesome or not? Or is this quality wholesome or not? Okay, any questions so far?
Bante?
Yeah.
Yeah, how can we understand that this is the question, is it the new, is it a question marker?
Yeah.
Because iso dhammo kusalo nuwa.
Yeah. Yeah, often one will find, to indicate a question, interrogative forms used. King, kasma, kata, kada, or sometimes nu ko will be used, indicating a question. Nu, then kho will be used. Nu ko. Whoops. Kinuko. Words like this will indicate a question.
Okay, thank you.
I'll point out the questions when we come to the reading passages. Okay, then there's a verb, a very simple verb, which only occurs occasionally in the indicative. Eti, which can mean either to come or to go. And forms based on eti are very common. For example, acheti means this is ati plus eti. So this means to go too far, because ati signifies excessive. Or let's see, pacheti, this is putti plus eti, which has the meaning of literally to go back, but it takes on an extended meaning to rely upon. And from pacheti, we get the noun pacheya, which means condition. Because something arises relying upon something else, that which it relies upon is a pacheya, a condition. In fact, from pacheti, we get Patticha, which is originally a gerund, Patti plus eti, the gerund is Patticha. So in Paticca Samuppada, we have it's literally arising, origination, having relied upon something else. What it relies upon is a condition. Okay, then we have another verb. It doesn't occur very often. This is pa plus eti. So it would give us the verb peti. And we don't find that verb very often, but rather we find very often the past participle, peta, which means one who has passed away. And then it comes to take on an extended meaning of a ghost. Gui in Chinese. The hungry ghost. Oh, then there's another verb. upa plus eti. Gives upeti, which means to approach. And then from this verb, we get a noun, upaya, which means literally it's an approach. But then it takes on an extended meaning of what's sometimes called, especially in Mahayana Buddhism, skillful means. But the original sense is an approach. Like if you can't present the teaching very directly, then you have to use a somewhat indirect means to convey the point of the teaching. So that indirect approach is an upaya. Okay, so based on the verb eti, we have the past participle ita, then the imperative ehi, which usually means come. It's usually it's the command to come. The singular form is ehi, and the plural form is eta. Any questions? Woman de Chungwa Bishuni, Bishu Bishuni Tingdongma, Yo Shema Wantima. Actually, it should be Yo Shema Wanti. Haila Fasha Ching One Tamil Ting the Dong Ma.
Okay, yes. Father, what do you mean? You want to hear Ting the Dong Ma? They're shaking their hands.
No question. Okay.
No, no question.
Okay, so we'll take one more grammar section. Okay, so this is two words which mean if. The fuller form is sace, and sace, well, the fuller word is sace, and the short form is che. So both of them mean if. The difference is that the form che never comes at the beginning of a sentence. It always comes inside the sentence. Usually it will be the second word, immediately following the subject. Thus, the example is given here. Ahan che eva kopana musa vadi asang. So, ahang is I, che is if, and the eva is just emphatic. Eva Kopana, just emphatic. Musa Vadi is a speaker of falsehood or a liar. And Asang is the first person singular optative. So literally this is, if I were to be a speaker of falsehood, if I were to speak falsely, if I were to be a liar. Okay, so che is always used inside the sentence, generally as the second word in the sentence, whereas sace usually occurs at the beginning of a sentence. So we can see the example given here. This is from the Dhammapada. Sache labeta nipakang sahayang. If you acquire a wise friend, and then we have another sentence going down a little bit. Sache sachang vadasi adasi bhavasi. Okay, I see. So, sache, if, sachang vadasi, if you are speaking truth, adasi bhavasi. Dasi is a female slave, and udasi is the negation of that. In other words, you will be a free person. Okay, and bhavasi means, it's the second person singular of bhavati, to be. So if you are speaking truth, you will be freed from slavery. You will be, no longer be a slave. And this is used sometimes. There are some past incidents mentioned in the suttas where the female slave comes to her mistress and reports something very joyful news to her mistress. I remember this occurs in the Ratapala Sutta, where the slave sees the son of the family who had become a monk and who had vanished years ago. Now the son returns on alms round to the family, and the slave woman recognizes the son and comes and reports to the mother that now your son has returned. And then the mother says to the slave woman, if you are speaking truth, you are no longer a slave. In other words, if the young man who has come is really the son Ratapala, then I will free you from slavery. Okay, any questions about this? Okay, let us leave the remaining two passages of the grammar for the next class, and we could go now to some reading passages. So turn back to page 97. And we have here an excerpt from the famous Kalama Sutta, which occurs in the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Threes. I think it's number 76. Okay, so let's read together. I'll read phrase by phrase, and you follow after me. Eta tumhe Kalama. Ma anusavena.
Ma anusavena.
Ma paramparaya.
Ma paramparaya.
Ma itikiraya.
Ma itikiraya.
Ma pitaka sampadanena. Ma samano no garuti.
Ma samano no garuti.
Okay, so here the Buddha is addressing this group of people who are called, this is their clan, the Kalamas. So he says, come you Kalamas. And then there's a verb here, which is not used, but it's just implied. I would say it's the verb to go, in the sense of to go by, meaning to rely upon. And so he's giving a negative or a prohibition, a negative command, ma anusavena. So literally, this is not, don't by hearing or by oral tradition. The word anusava means that which has been heard. As a kind of preserved tradition, and it was used especially in relation to the Vedic teaching of the Brahmins. And so he's saying, do not go by oral tradition, do not rely upon oral tradition. And even though the verb isn't used, but we could understand that that is the implication of the case that's used here. And what case is this? Anusavena.
Instrumental.
Right. It's instrumental singular. So literally it's simply don't by oral tradition. But what's implied is don't go by oral tradition. Don't depend on oral tradition. Don't rely on oral tradition. Okay, then we have ma paramparaya. The word parampara, it's formed by duplicating the word para, which means another. And so parampara suggests from one to another. And what this means is a tradition of teachers or a lineage of teachers. Since one teacher teaches his students, the students, when they grow old, become teachers and they teach their students. And so in this way, sometimes a doctrine or a teaching has come down from early times through a lineage of teachers. So here the Buddha is saying, do not go by a lineage of teachers. Do not rely upon what has come down through a lineage of teachers. And what case is this? Paramparaya? What is it? No, tricked you.
Dative.
No, it's not the dative. I think I heard it. Somebody say it again.
Instrumental.
Yes, it's instrumental. But why does it look like a dative? I heard somebody say it. Say it more loudly.
Param is a female word, I think.
Right, because the stem noun is parampara. It's a feminine singular. And so the feminine singular forms, whether it's dative, genitive, instrumental, ablative, it forms it as aya, with the ending aya. So for parampara, the instrumental singular is paramparaya. So do not go by a lineage of teachers. Okay, then we have the next, ma itikiraya. Itikira is formed by combining itti, which means thus, Iti is thus, and Kira is a particle which suggests it is said. So when you have Iti Kira, it's literally thus it is said, which then takes on the meaning of hearsay. You know, when one person says, oh, this is the way it is, and then you just hear that and you think, ah, because this one says it's such and such a way, it must be true. So the Buddha is saying, ma iti kiraya, do not go by hearsay. And also this is, iti kira must be feminine singular, and so this also is instrumental. Instrumental singular. Okay, then we have the next one is ma pitaka sampadanena. So pitaka is a collection of sacred texts, and sampadana would be something like the authority of sacred texts. So do not go by the authority of scriptures. Do not go by the authority of a collection of texts regarded as sacred. Okay, then the last one is a little obscure. Okay, so we have ma, again, which is a prohibition, don't. Then summino is an ascetic. And no here means this is the genitive plural in the short form, the enclitic form of the pronoun umhakang, meaning our. And guru, this is the Pali word corresponding to the famous, well-known Sanskrit word guru, which means like spiritual teacher. So here the Buddha is saying, do not go on the thought the ascetic is our guru. In other words, don't rely on some spiritual teacher thinking he's our guru, whatever the guru says must be correct. Okay, any questions on this so far? Yeah.
This is a little bit confusing. Maybe there's more to it. But I mean, if we don't rely on the teachers and the scriptures, how would we learn, right?
Well, I think this, yeah, this has to be taken in this particular context. And often the Kalama Sutta, I have to say, it's quoted out of context. You see, the Kalamas were not disciples of the Buddha yet. The Buddha was traveling together with the monks, and he came to this area where the Kalamas were living, and the Kalamas had been exposed to teachings from many teachers who were contradicting each other. And so they were confused, and they didn't know who to believe and what to believe. And so the Buddha is trying to tell them, you know, don't rely on any of these teachers, but first you have to find something through your own reasoning, through your own experience that you can rely on. And so the Buddha is trying to say to them, you know, because you're not my disciple, so you don't have to depend on me, but try to find something that you could accept as reliable on the basis of your own experience. But of course, when the Buddha is addressing his own disciples, then he'll say, of course, he doesn't try to impose himself as an absolute authority, even his own disciples, he says, to examine the teachings for yourselves. But still, sometimes the Buddha, when he's speaking, he'll refer to his authority as the teacher, particularly in matters of discipline and in training. Okay, anyway, let us continue. Okay, now... Excuse me? Okay, so again, you follow me as I recite. Yada tumhe kalama... Atanava janayata.
Atanava janayata.
Ime dhamma akusala.
Ime dhamma akusala.
Ime dhamma savajja.
Ime dhamma savajja.
Ime dhamma Vinyu Garahita.
Ime Dhamma Vinyu Garahita.
Ime Dhamma Samatha Samadina.
Ime Dhamma Samatha Samadina.
Ahitaya Dukaya Sangvatantiti. Atta tumhe kalama.
Atta tumhe kalama.
Paja he yata.
Paja he yata.
Okay, going back to the beginning now. Yuddha means when. Tumhe, of course, is the plural pronoun meaning you. And then kalama is the vocative. The Buddha is addressing the people, the kalamas. Then he says, he uses the optative form, janayata, when you might know. But it's prefixed by, preceded by the word atanava, which we already came across, by yourself. And the va here is the short form of eva, which is emphatic. So the meaning is, when, O kalamas, you might know by yourselves, then what they know, ime dhamma akusala, these qualities are unwholesome. And the verb is implied. The verb would be honti, but it doesn't have to be stated, it's implied. If we wanted to fill it out, we would say, ime dhamma akusala honti. But it's not necessary to have honti. So you could just, you know, to make it more concise, ime dhamma akusala. These qualities are unwholesome. Then ime dhamma savajja, these qualities are blameable, blameworthy. Ime dhamma vinyu garahita, these qualities are criticized by the wise. Here we have the compound. Vinyu, which means wise people, not necessarily enlightened people, but just ordinary people in society with some wisdom or intelligence, and garahita, which means criticized. It's based on the verb garahati. To criticize, to censor. So these qualities are criticized by the wise. Then we have ime dhamma samatta samadhina. These qualities taken up and adopted, we can say. Actually, samatta and samadhina are just two forms of the same word. They're past participles based on the noun samadhiyati. So we could form the past participle either as samatta or as samadhina. Those are just two past participles of samadhiyati, which means to take up, to accept, to adopt. So these qualities, taken up, adopted, then we go to the verb sangvatanti, sangvatanti, which means to lead to. And then we have what they lead to is ahitaya, dukkhaya. What case are these words? Ahitaya, dukkhaya?
Dative.
Right. They are dative forms. So ahita means harm. It's the opposite of hita. Hita means welfare or well-being, and ahita is the negative, meaning harm, and dukkha, of course, is suffering. So these qualities, taken up and adopted, lead to harm and to suffering. So the Buddha is saying, when you know this for yourselves, or when you know this by yourselves, atatum he kalama pacha he yata, then, kalamas, you should abandon them. And pacha he yata is... what form of the verb is this?
Optative.
Yeah, it's optative. And what person, a number?
It's a second person plural.
Right, it's second person plural. Because the Buddha is addressing a group of people. So naturally he would use second person plural. Okay, now the Buddha is going to draw out from the kalamas their opinion about various unwholesome qualities or unwholesome actions. So he says, Tung King Manyata Kalama. So that is, what do you think? Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you repeat after me. Tung King Manyata Kalama. Lobo purisasa.
Lobo purisasa.
Ajatang upajamano upajati.
Ajatang upajamano upajati.
Hitaya va ahitaya vati. And they answer, ahitaya bhante. Okay, so the Buddha asked the kalamas, what do you think about this, O kalamas? Then he poses the question, Lobo is greed. Then we have Purisasa. For a person, Ajatang means internally, then Upajamano is what form, what grammatical form? Kim?
Present.
Kim?
I think it's nominative.
But what grammatical form is it? There's a big hint in the word itself.
Is it past participle, Bunker?
Not past participle. What should be the giveaway in this word? June, you want to try?
Present participle.
Right, and what gives it away is a present participle.
Mano.
Right. The suffix mana usually indicates a present participle, especially when used with the stem of a verb. So upajamano, it's nominative, meaning arising, and it's describing lobo, greed. So greed arising internally for a person, then upajati arises, hitaya va, that is for harm, I'm sorry, for good, ahitaya va, or harm. So in other words, the question is, what do you think about this, O Kalamas? Greed, when greed is arising internally for a person, does it arise for good or for harm? And then the people reply, Ahitaya Bhante, which means for harm, Venerable One. Okay, then the Buddha is going now to elaborate on how greed arises for a person's harm. Okay, so again you recite after me. Luto panayan kalama.
Luto panayan kalama.
Purisa pugalo. Lobena abibuto.
Lobena abibuto.
Pariyadina chito.
Pariyadina chito.
Panampi hanati.
Panampi hanati.
Adinampi adiyati. Paradaram pi gacchati.
Paradaram pi gacchati.
Musa pi banati.
Musa pi banati.
Parampi tatataya samadapeti.
Parampi tatataya samadapeti.
Yangsa hoti. Digaratang ahitaya dukayati.
Digaratang ahitaya dukayati.
Okay, so first we have the word here, ludo. Ludo is the past participle of the verb which means to be greedy. So ludo But here, luto functions as an adjective meaning greedy, and it's qualifying purisa pugalo, which means a person. Then we have, before this, we have pan ayang, and this is a compound, or it's actually, it's a sandhi, which is formed from pana plus ayang. And ayang goes with purisa pugalo. Pana is just a connective. It just shows that this sentence is following from the previous sentence. So it doesn't really have to be translated. So the sense here is, okay, this greedy person, O Kalamas. Then we have Lobena Adiputo Pariyadina Chito. So Lobena means by greed, and Abibuto means overcome. And Abibuto is what grammatical form, Kim? What participle? What kind of participle?
Past participle.
Right. It's a past participle, and it's based on the verb abibhavati, which means to overcome, to overpower. And so lobena abibuto means overcome by greed. And pariyadina chito, this is a compound of pariyadina, which also means something like obsessed by or possessed by. Plus chitta, which means mind. So we get the compound. Pariyadina chitto. But this compound, pariyadina chitto, is what is called an adjectival compound. And it's describing the purisa pugalo, so it's in agreement with purisa pugalo. So it's functioning as an adjective describing purisa pugalo. It's a person whose mind is possessed, in this case, lobena, by greed. So lobena, by greed, extends to both abibuto and pariyadina chito, one who is overcome by greed with a mind possessed by greed. So putting it all together, this greedy person, O Kalamas, who is overcome by greed with a mind possessed by greed, then we have panam pi hanati, which means he kills a living being. Then adinam pi adiyati, he takes what is not given, or in other words, he steals. Paradaram pi gachati, and the pi is in these statements is a conjunction meaning also. So paradharampi gacchati. Paradhara means the wife of another. But since women also do this, so we could say the spouse of another or the partner of another. He or she goes to the partner of another. In other words, they commit adultery. And musapi banati. One speaks falsely. What case is Musa?
Adverb.
Yeah, it's an adverb or an indeclinable. It's not an actual case. So it just means like falsely. So it always occurs as Musa. So one speaks falsely. And then we have the phrase parampi tatataya samadapeti. So the verb here is samadapeti, which is actually the causative of samadhiati. Samadapeti. So this is samadapeti is literally to cause to adopt. So I translate it to encourage. So he encourages, then the object of this is parampi, or parang, another person. So one encourages another person, tatataya, in a similar way. That is, one encourages other people to kill, steal, commit adultery, and to speak falsely. Then we have yangsa, which is an abbreviation of yang plus asa, meaning wit. Yang is which, and asa is for one, or one's own, the genitive of it's similar to tassa, the genitive or dative of so, him. So it's which hoti is asa for his ahitaya harm, dukkaya for suffering. Then the word digaratang literally means diga long, and rata is night. So the Chinese, when they're translating from the Sanskrit, diga ratrang, translate this as, I think, chang ye. Is that correct? You get this in the agamas, chang ye. So they translate it literally as long night, but it's actually used sort of figuratively in Pali to mean for a long time. Okay, so putting it together, let's see where to start. Okay, so I'm starting from Luto Panayang Kalama. So this person this greedy person, overcome by greed, whose mind is possessed by greed, kills living beings and takes what is not given and goes to the partners of others and speaks falsely and encourages others in a similar way, which is for his harm and for his suffering for a long time. And I guess this is all a question. It doesn't have a question word, but from the fact that the Kalamas say evang bante, yes, Venerable One. So the Buddha seems to be saying, isn't this the case, that one who is greedy, a person who is greedy, overcome by greed, will do such and such a thing? And so then the Kalamas say, evang bante, yes, Venerable One. Okay, now the Buddha asked the next question. So he says, Tung King Manyata Kalama. You repeat.
Tung King Manyata Kalama.
Doso Purisasa Ajatang Upajamano.
Doso Purisasa Ajatang Upajamano.
Upajati Hitaya Va Ahitaya Va. So this question is phrased in the same way. The only difference now, dosa replaces loba. So he's asking about hatred rather than greed. So he says, what do you think, O Kalamas, when hatred is arising internally in a person, does it arise for harm, for good, or for harm? And the Kalamas say, Ahitaya Bhante, for harm, Venerable Sir. Okay, then the Buddha asks, Duto Panayang Kalama Purisa Pugalo Dosena Abibuto Pariyadina Chito. Okay.
Duto Panayang Kalama Purisa Pugalo Dosena Abibuto Pariyadina Chito.
Okay, so now the Buddha is asking actually the same question, but in the case of hatred. So he says, this hating person, overcome by hatred, whose mind is possessed by hatred, and then everything else is the same. Okay, so I don't have to explain it word for word. And then the Kalamas say, evang bante, yes, Venerable One. And then the Buddha again asks the same question, but with reference to moha, delusion. So this is moha is the defilement. And then when we get the next statement, mulho panayang purisa pugalo, it's this person who is deluded. Everything else is the same. I don't have to go through that word for word. So we'll pick up with the question, Tung King Manyata Kalama.
Okay. Tung King Manyata Kalama.
Ime Dhamma Kusala Va Akusala Va. And they answer, Akusala Bhante.
Akusala Bhante.
So the Buddha says, what do you think about this, Kalamas? These qualities, wholesome or unwholesome? So the verb honti is implied. So the Buddha is asking, what do you think about these, this Kalamas? Are these qualities wholesome or unwholesome? And the Kalamas say, unwholesome, Venerable One. Okay, then the Buddha says, Savajja va anavajja va.
Savajja va anavajja va.
Yeah, there should actually be a va after anavajja, but it seems that there's a printing error here. So he's saying, are they blamable, that's savajja, or blameless? And the Kalamas say, savajja bhante. That, okay, that they're blamable. Yeah, so the Kalamas say that they are blamable, Venerable One. Then the Buddha asks, vinyu garahita va, vinyu pasata va. So, okay, you recite. So that means, are they criticized by the wise or praised by the wise? And the Kalamas say, vinyu garahita bhante. Yeah, you can recite. Vinyu garahita bhante.
Vinyu garahita bhante.
And then the Kalamas, the Buddha asks, samatta samadina ahitaya dukaya sangvatanti.
Samatta samadina ahitaya dukaya sangvatanti.
Nova.
Nova.
Katangva eta hoti. And then the Kalamas, the Buddha asks, samatha samadina, which again, it's two words meaning the same thing, taken up and accepted. Then the verb, do they lead ahitaya dukaya? Do they lead to harm and to suffering? Nova or not? Then comes another question. Katang or how? Eta hoti. It's a little odd translated literally into English. Literally it means, or how is it here? But in ordinary English, I would translate, or what do you think about this? Okay, and so the Buddha is asking, taken up and adopted, do these things lead to harm and to suffering or not? Or what do you think about this? And then the Kalamas say, samatta bhante samadina. Ahitaya dukaya sangvatanti.
Ahitaya dukaya sangvatanti.
Evang no eta hoti.
Evang no eta hoti.
I think that there's a copying or printing mistake here. When you when we have the verb sangvatanti, that T that comes after it should be deleted because the Buddha is still speaking. It's not the end of his question. Or the Kalamas are still speaking. It's not the end of their statement. So they say, taken up and adopted, Bhante, they lead to harm and to suffering. Such is what we think about this. Okay, any questions? Okay, I'm going to have to stop now because I have to go across to the monastery building for the lunch. And so we won't be able to have a class next Monday because I have to travel next Monday. But 2 Mondays from now, I think that is the 27th, I'll be in Los Angeles and I'll have a class from Los Angeles. So you don't escape me, even if I'm in California.
Yeah, we're a traveler, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll send a note before the next class. I'll send an email message reminding you about the class. Okay, and let's end with 3 bows to the Buddha. Okay, I don't have a Buddha. Well, I just have the Buddha image on the cover of my book. So we'll do 3 bows. 1, 2. Oh, I could see the one on the windowsill of the Chuang'e of the library. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Okay, so thank you all for coming to the class via. Okay. Okay, have a good day.
Bye.